You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
Welcome to the Roto Experts. Mike Lute along with George Kurtz on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thank you for joining us. No matter how you found us, we appreciate you listening in on this Saturday morning, whether you found us at TuneIn Radio or iHeartRadio or the Fantasy Sports Radio app or a variety of terrestrial radio stations across the country. Thank you for joining us. So hopefully we'll provide you with some information, get your lineups corrected, get you updated on the latest ongoings in the world of fantasy football. George, obviously Thursday night, we kicked it off with the Titans going up against the Steelers. Steelers clearly outplayed the Titans, even though it was a 23-17 game entering the fourth quarter. They ran away with it there. Antonio Brown is at the top of your fantasy charts and will probably remain there for wide receivers, despite being the first guy across the finish line.
Yeah, I would assume that's going to happen there. He had a big game there. As it was a strange game. There was some good offensive output from a bunch of people. Ben had a good game. Brown. Bell was probably a little bit disappointing. You actually detailed earlier how it could have been much better if he could have got 6 more inches. They would have gotten into the end zone on one. Mariota, you know, had a weird, good fantasy day, not a good NFL day. You can't throw 4 picks, especially as ugly as some of those picks were. It was almost like he was trying to hit the guy in the Pittsburgh uniforms.
Yeah. Let's pause there for a second. Where do you think Mariota is at this point in his career? I think people see tons of potential. And obviously, we've expected a better fantasy year from him thus far, but he's been hurt as well. But just where do you think he's at? I can't blame him for what happened the other night entirely because he was under pressure, but the 4 picks, some bad decisions there. He didn't get a ton of help. As you said earlier, Delanie Walker dropped a huge potential touchdown. So where do you think Mariota's at?
I think he's had a disappointing season. I think, fantasy-wise, we all know the stat last year was from weeks 5 to 12, he was a top 5 fantasy quarterback. And then ever since that, it's been bad. Really, he's been inconsistent this season at best. You know, he keeps getting hurt year after year now. He's had season-ending injuries the last 2 years, and this year he's been banged up an awful lot. He's not really running as much as he used to, so that's hurt his fantasy value some. And now we're questioning his accuracy. I mean, they don't have the best of weapons around him yet. Delanie Walker's a fine tight end. Yeah, Rashard Matthews is come around to being a nice wide receiver, too. They need Davis to be that wide receiver, that NFL wide receiver one. That would certainly help. You know, so I think we're still waiting for that. The running game being disappointing this year has also probably had an effect on him. The offensive line hasn't been as good as we thought it would be. So I think they have a lot of these questions here. But I think overall, if I was going to use one word, disappointing.
So here's the news for Mariota coming up. He's at Indy next week, then Houston, then at Arizona, then at San Francisco, and finishes up against the Rams. That's a pretty good slate, fantasy-wise, the rest of the way for an opposing quarterback.
Yeah, he could help you get into your fantasy playoffs, right? Because you mentioned Indy, San Fran, even the Rams isn't terrible here, especially if they get into a shootout. So maybe that helps as well. But I don't know. He's tough to rely on right now. It's going to be tough for me to put him in my top 12.
Yeah. Anyway, bye weeks this week. No Panthers, no Colts, no Jets, no Niners. You need to know all that stuff. We'll come back. We'll preview a few games. We got Ryan Talbot at 8:24 talking about Tyrod and Peterman back after this on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Wanted to talk to you quick about contests that we're doing with DKMS.
and I'm sure you've heard me read this before, but it's a season-long effort. And the only way to get the word out is to keep doing that. And the best way for us to do it is through the fun of fantasy football. So if you can go to rotoexperts.com/DKMS, you're going to be able to find out about DKMS and their cause, and it's a mission to fight blood cancer. So our goal is to have people go there. You can sign up to be a bone marrow donor. You can make a donation and certainly help us by spreading the word about the DKMS cause. So once you're at that URL, rotoexperts.com/DKMS, you're going to find a link to Fantasy Draft. Click on that link, and you're going to be, as long as you sign up, click on that link, you're going to be put into a free DFS contest. And the winner of that free DFS contest each and every week for the first 16 weeks will be put into the grand prize contest in week 17. And the winner of that grand prize week 17 contest will get, George,
2 tickets to the big game, Michael.
That's right, Mr. Game Show Announcer. So 2 tickets to the big game in Minneapolis, Super Bowl 52. So that's where we're at. Please go to rotoexperts.com/DKMS. Sign up, learn a little bit more, become a bone marrow donor, and also play that contest. See if you can beat me. I actually had a pretty terrible result this past week. My tournament lineups didn't work out. My cash lineups were pretty good last week, but tournaments just didn't work out. I can't even remember the duds that I put up. I stacked up the Patriots, which was okay, but everything else just fell flat. I can't remember. I'm not going to recap my terrible Week 10 DFS lineup. So we do have Ryan Talbot coming up in the next segment. That's at Ryan Talbot Bills on Twitter. He writes for New York Upstate and Bills Updates. He's going to talk to us a little bit about the Tyrod Taylor, Nathan Peterman switch, and where do the Bills go from here? I mean, they're in the playoffs. That's a funny thing. We're talking negatively about them. They're in the playoffs right now, George.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing. It really shows you how bad the AFC is. You know, because who's going to step
probably
up?
Right.
I mean, really, if you want to take the Bills out, and I do want to take them out, Michael, but who do you put in? The Raiders are probably going to lose tomorrow to the Patriots. The Broncos have already imploded. I mean, is it Baltimore? Really?
No.
The Ravens? They're going to win tomorrow. They're going to win.
The Packers beat the Bears.
Oh, my.
This is a bad example. There's no way to prove my point is to bring up the Bears. They're terrible. The Chiefs.
What are the
it's
Dolphins
the Chiefs,
win?
The Steelers, and the Pats, right? And the Jaguars. That's it.
And probably the Titans. That's five. I mean, even
I think the Titans are going to make it.
There's going to be some ugly teams in the making the playoffs in the AFC. It's really brutal. I mean, because like, maybe it's the Dolphins. Dolphins could beat the Buccaneers tomorrow. They'll be back above 500 or at 500.
They stink.
And they suck. Yeah, they don't stink. They
lost two games by like 30-plus points.
And I think someone told me they have another standalone game, another Monday night game next week. What is the NFL thinking?
Man, that's rough. I mean, they were 10-6 last year. What did they, you know?
But to have 4 to 5 week standalone games?
Yeah.
I mean, really, this is not Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers. Okay, hey, we want to watch Aaron Rodgers. You know, the Cowboys, you watch their players.
You're depressing me.
I'm depressing myself.
Let's talk about a good game. It was a good game. And now the Cowboys stink all of a sudden. But let's talk about Eagles-Cowboys, my friend. This is a big one for
not
you.
Not anymore.
This is a big one for you. You
we
need this one.
We ain't cousins and we ain't friends.
8-1. 8-1 Eagles coming into Dallas. 8:30 p.m. Sunday night game. Big one for Dak Prescott. What do you see here?
I see an ass-kicking. That's pretty
really?
Much what I see here. First of all, at the NFL scheduling, you got to love this. Let's have a division game, and let's have one team be coming off a bye. I hate how the NFL does its byes. I've complained about this over and over again. But to have a divisional game with one team coming off a bye this late season, in my mind, is idiotic. Why would you want to give the advantage to one team over the other? It doesn't matter in this case. The Cowboys, no Tyron Smith. Didn't practice all week. Don't see him playing. We saw how well that worked out last week and how bad a coach Jason Garrett can really be, and really the entire coaching staff. How does no one realize that, the left tackle really, really not playing very well? Maybe we should put a running back over there to help chip Adrian Claiborne. Or, hey, for all I know, maybe Jason Garrett was getting a piece of Claiborne's that incentive he had where if he had more than 8 sacks in the season, he gets $750,000 because he had 6 last week.
I picked him up in an IDP league because he's got like 4 more to try to get to $2 million.
Yes.
So I'm like, I think he's motivated.
You think I'd be motivated?
He's 67-point game in our dynasty league. It's the highest total I've ever seen for one player in one game. 67.
I never understood those incentives, Mike, for a defensive end to go for sack incentives. Because you know what that means? If I'm Claiborne, screw the run. I don't want the running back. Go ahead. I don't get paid if we got to get you. It's quarterback or bust. Right?
Yep.
I mean, I never really understood that. But anyway, no Tyron Smith. All right, no Sean Lee. And Sean Lee is the glue to that defense. I think Dallas has now lost 5 straight games in which Lee hasn't played. So that's a problem. You know, they already don't have Dan Bailey at kicker, so you're losing your best special teams player as well. All right, they have some other injuries. Jeff Heath will be out at safety. They'll be starting a rookie at safety during this game. We already know Ezekiel Elliott's out, so it's Alfred Morris and company there. It's a mess. It's just a mess. And Dez Bryant is not the same wide receiver he used to be a couple of years ago. He just doesn't have that burst anymore, doesn't get separation. He's no longer a wide receiver one in NFL terms. So the Cowboys are they're in a lot of trouble. I expect another loss tomorrow night. I don't think the game's going to be all that close because I don't think they can stop Philadelphia. Not enough. I think Philadelphia can put up 30 points, and I don't think Dallas can do that anymore with how the offense is currently constructed. Not without Elliott, not without Tyron Smith. So I don't think this game's going to be all that close tomorrow night. I think if you're a Cowboy fan, which I am, you chalk us up to a loss, you're 5-5, and then it's the next 3 games where they got to probably sweep them all. And that's
yeah,
the
I wanted to actually
Redskins
mention that.
Giants.
Yeah, it's because the schedule is kind of funky. You mentioned that they're playing the Sunday night game. Then keep in mind, they're playing the Sunday night game. Then they have to play a Thanksgiving game, too. Now, they don't have to
travel. 3 games in 11 days. Really good for the NFL.
So they got the Eagles Sunday night. Then they play the Chargers 4:30 on Thanksgiving, 4:30 Eastern. And then they have Washington the following Thursday night before they go to the Giants, then go to the Raiders, then play the Seahawks, then go at the Eagles. This is not set up well for the Cowboys. You said this back in August, that this is going to be a tough schedule to start and a tough finish. Granted, the Giants aren't what they are, but the Raiders are obviously a capable team, especially at home, and they're going to have the Hawks and finishing at the Eagles. It probably won't mean anything for the Eagles, but
that's the bonus
game and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. The thing is for this, you look at the NFC. I mean, Minnesota, Detroit, New Orleans, Carolina, Atlanta's playing well again, Philadelphia, Rams, Seattle. This is the anti-AFC. There's going to be 9-10 teams in here. This could be the year in the NFC that a 10-team win doesn't get in the playoffs. You know, I'm not saying Dallas is going to win 10 games, by the way. I'm just saying, but I think there'll be a 10-team win that won't get in. They'll lose a tiebreaker because of all these teams. So it's rough for Dallas because even if without the players I mentioned, now, maybe on Thursday, maybe Tyron Smith can come back. I don't think Sean Lee can. So maybe he can. That'll help things against Washington, against the Chargers. But Chargers, you know, Chargers have been finding ways to lose games, right? It's really, they figure out a way to lose every game. So maybe they do it to Dallas again. Maybe they don't. The Redskins, we know, can score points. Can Dallas stay with them the next Thursday after that? And even the Giant game, you would think it should be a win, but the Giants, you know, it's a rivalry game. They hate the Cowboys. When it comes to a division game, you can never just chalk up an automatic win. Other than at that point, the organization might want the Giants to lose just to get the suck for Sam and try and get that draft pick for the number one quarterback. So it's interesting. But then, as you said, Oakland, Seattle, I don't like Dallas' chances at all.
There is a couple of pieces of news on this game. Obviously, everybody knows that Zeke Elliott is out. So we got an Alfred Morris, Darren McFadden, Rod Smith kind of situation going on there.
I'm not sure McFadden's even in this conversation anymore.
I tend to agree with you. Alshon Jeffrey, 8 receptions for 146 yards and 3 touchdowns in his past 2 games. He is banged up, but he's gotten through it. It looks like he'll play. Zach Ertz coming back, which is good news for Zach Ertz owners. He crushed me in a couple of leagues where I really needed him to play last week, and obviously he was too banged up to go in one of what was just a wild pregame last week with Fournette being declared out and Ertz being declared out sort of at the last minute. That's what you got there. We're going to come back. We're going to talk to Ryan Talbot from at New York Upstate. We'll talk about the Bills situation and ask him a variety of questions. It's been a weird NFL season, and I think the Bills are just another layer to the weird story where a playoff team is switching quarterbacks to a rookie with 6 weeks to go, George.
Yeah, I agree. It's a strange situation here. I think in the end, it's probably the right situation for Buffalo because I think I'll say it again. I think they know, hey, we're not a Super Bowl team here. You know, I still need to prepare for the future. That's what McDermott is doing, and I give him all the credit in the world for that, Mike. because a lot of teams don't do that. So I don't know if I would have had the nuts to do it. He does. Good luck to Buffalo.
We actually have a couple of good games on the slate. Falcons at Seahawks, Rams at Vikings. Despite there being injuries, there's some good games on this slate this week. We'll come back. We'll talk to Ryan Talbot from Bills Updates and New York Upstate next on Fantasy Sports Radio Network. If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's Mike and George here to the top of the hour. Thank you for joining us. And we got Ryan Talbot here with us. Ryan Talbot, you can find him on Twitter at Ryan Talbot Bills. He's Bills writer for New York Upstate and Bills Updates. And Ryan, first of all, thanks for joining the show. How are you doing, bud?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. So last time we talked to you, it was August, and we had conversations after the Sammy Watkins trade and having let Robert Woods just walk away, that they were punting the season. But you told us that in no uncertain terms, Sean McDermott was saying, absolutely not. We're just trying to get my guys in here, and we're trying to put the best team on the field that can help us win. And I think they were one of the surprise teams of the first half of the year. But unfortunately, the last couple of weeks, they've gotten steamrolled, especially defensively. They've gotten run over. So in reaction to the team getting run over, they benched the starting quarterback in favor of a rookie. So help me sort that out. What went into his decision?
Yeah, you know, there were a lot of things on both sides of the ball. Offensively, I don't think they've been very happy with Tyrod Taylor in terms of he seems to settle for dropping the ball off over and over again. And he doesn't really give his wide receivers a chance to win the contested catch. Now, this isn't all on Tyrod Taylor. The Bills have three starting wide receivers in Zay Jones, Jordan Matthews, and Kelvin Benjamin who struggle to create separation. So that's a problem. When Tyrod's holding onto the ball, he doesn't like to anticipate. He wants to wait until they're open, and that's very tough with that trio of wide receivers. So as he's waiting and it's not happening, he ends up dropping it off to Mike Tolbert or LeSean McCoy or just someone out in the flat. And I think that was frustrating the coaching staff. But at the same time, as I was saying, that's not on all on Taylor. It's going to be interesting. You know, Taylor showed improvement this year in terms of staying in the pocket, keeping his eyes up, not running at the first sign of pressure. He also prevented many sacks with his athleticism. And you're not going to see Nathan Peterman have the same success in that regard. But you're going to see Peterman get the ball out faster. You're going to see him target the wide receivers more. You know, it was in mop-up duty last week, and obviously the Saints weren't playing the same type of defense. It's probably more of a prevent. But he did target his wide receivers. He was getting the ball out quickly. So I think they want to see, what do we have in Nathan Peterman? Because I was listening before the break. You know, this isn't a Super Bowl team by any means. Tyrod Taylor isn't going to be back next year. That's pretty apparent at this point. So with the Bills having five picks in the first three rounds of the draft, do they have to package those picks to move up to get a quarterback of the future? Or can they wait until the second or third round and use one of those picks to get a quarterback, but also address linebacker, defensive line, wide receiver, and some of their other needs with those first few picks instead?
Yeah, I think that's the biggest question we're all wondering here. I think we all realize that, you know, Tyrod Taylor is probably gone. Peterman gets a 6-7 game more addition to see what he can do. And then the Bills will have fun during next year's draft. As far as tomorrow's game is concerned, since we're a fantasy-friendly show here, LeSean McCoy, is this a LeSean McCoy game? LeSean McCoy left, LeSean McCoy right, LeSean McCoy up the middle. What are we expecting tomorrow?
Oh, I'm expecting a lot of LeSean McCoy tomorrow, especially because Mike Tolbert's out for the game. Not that Mike Tolbert's been a great handcuff for McCoy by any means, But the backup's going to be Travis Cadet, who was brought in about 2 weeks ago. So McCoy's going to be in there early and often. He's going to be very involved in the run game, and he will be involved in the pass game. I think they know that the Chargers' defensive line is a major strength. So I think that some of the game plan in the passing game is going to be screen passes, getting it out quickly to McCoy. So I think in terms of running the ball and receiving, he's going to have a pretty big game.
You know, you brought up a couple of interesting points when you were talking about Taylor. Look, when you look at some of his metrics, people will tell you, well, Tyrod's been pretty accurate, and it's at 64%, and he's got 10 touchdowns to 3 interceptions. But I think where people lose sight of it is that, as you said, he's basically not throwing some balls that he should. He should be getting the ball out to receivers at a greater rate, and he'll maybe freelance and run or do some other things instead of helping his receivers fight for it. In addition to that, they are 30th in the league in turnover percentage, meaning nearly 7% of their drives are ending in turnovers. So while their overall turnover number isn't huge, they've turned the ball over a fair amount of times considering how much they have it. Now, I bring all this up to ask you, can Peterman let somebody like Benjamin fight for it? Can he let somebody like Jordan Matthews fight for it? I think the tough part for Taylor is that with Matthews and Benjamin, those guys play in a phone booth, and is this going to help a rookie quarterback to try to fit it into tight windows?
You know, that's a great question, but I will say that one of Peterman's strengths was his accuracy in training camp and in the preseason. I think he made a few tight window passes. There's one against the Saints where I don't know if he just missed the defensive player coming in. I mean, it could have gone for an interception, but somehow he just missed it and he completed a pass. He's going to take those chances. And I think the coaching staff is okay with saying, okay, he's going to make some rookie mistakes. There's going to be a few passes where some seasoned veterans are going to read the route and maybe pick it off. But at the same time, he is going to try to get the ball to Jordan Matthews in the slot, try to get it to Zay Jones in a tight situation, and throw the jump ball up to Kelvin Benjamin. Now, Taylor didn't have much time with Benjamin. They only had one game. But other than the first drive, he kind of went away from Benjamin right after that. So it can be frustrating. The wide receivers haven't shown any frustration or said anything about it. But I think this is a good opportunity for them as well as for Nathan Peterman going forward.
What are we looking at with the Bills wide receiver core? I mean, you traded Sammy Watkins, you got a second round pick, and then you trade for Benjamin, giving up a third and a seventh. You know, you trade for Jordan Matthews as well. Is this all sort of let's put everything in a pot and see how it mixes together sort of season here for the wide receiver core?
It almost seems like it because, again, the type of wide receivers they're bringing in are curious, as there's not one person that can stretch the field or create that separation. So I'm not sure what their plan was here. It's hard for me to envision Jordan Matthews sticking around after this year. You know, 22 receptions through 8 games. That has to be a little bit frustrating on his end, being pretty involved in the slot in Philadelphia before this. Kelvin Benjamin will be around next year. Zay Jones will be around. But I think that if Peterman shows enough here in his 7-game audition, one of those first-round picks has to go to a wide receiver that can create separation, that can keep defenses honest. And you don't expect a lot out of rookie wide receivers in their first seasons, but you have to get someone that can complement what they already have here going forward.
What is interesting for tomorrow's game against the Chargers in L.A. is that Zay Jones, Charles Clay, Jordan Matthews, Kelvin Benjamin, all healthy. It's been a while since we could say that.
Yeah, it seems like that he's going to have, Nathan Peterman will have a full complement of weapons at his disposal, even to a lesser extent. Nick O'Leary's had an under-the-radar season, not in terms of fantasy, yeah, but in terms of being a reliable guy that can find those pockets in the defense, get open, and if you can get it to him, he's going to catch it 9 times out of 10. So he's going to have all the weapons. Oh, go ahead.
He's actually been fantasy relevant, Ryan, too, because there's been so many injuries at the position. O'Leary's been a guy that in deeper leagues you can pick up. And to your point, he's been pretty reliable.
Oh, without a doubt. Now with Clay back, though, I'm not sure if I'll say that as much because Clay is their number one tight end. And he was having a nice start to his season before went down with an injury in the Bengals game. So I'm not sure if both of them will be relevant going forward. But they're going to see their targets. The tight end is a focal point of Rick Dennison's offense. It's something that will still get targeted a lot. And a rookie quarterback, you know, sometimes the tight end can be your best friend.
Absolutely. Most quarterbacks love the big target over the middle. Now, you mentioned earlier you think they need a wide receiver in the draft next year. They traded Marcell Dareus, Buffalo got themselves sort of out of salary cap hell there. Is there a big player or a big positional need in free agency that you see the Buffalo Bills addressing now that they have some extra salary cap room?
You know, there's no shortage of positions that they could address. I know that's kind of a vague answer, but you look, I'll kind of go across the board here. Look at offensive guard. They don't like John Miller in this system. They're starting Vlad Dacosta over him, who is a career journeyman. You have Richie Incognito, who's getting up there in age, so that's a position you probably need to address. Cordy Glenn, they might end up parting ways with him. Deion Dawkins has actually been pretty solid as a rookie this year, in my opinion. But you still have Jordan Mills on the other side. So the offensive line could see a major overhaul. Defensive tackle absolutely needs to get addressed. They just got rid of Jarrell Worthy to bring in DeAndre Coleman. They're looking for that big guy that can kind of take up space. Mike Waffle is talking about gap integrity these last two games being the key issue. And especially against the Saints, saying it seemed like every defensive lineman was out of place at times, and so they couldn't simply yank one player off the field. But you have Kyle Williams, who's up there in age. You really don't have a replacement, in my opinion, for Marcell Dareus on this current roster. And Shaq Lawson's been great against the run, but you might want to get another defensive end in there as well, because Jerry Hughes has been a little bit on the inconsistent side. All three linebackers, the current starting linebackers, may be gone. Preston Brown's a free agent. Lorenzo Alexander, he started off the year pretty well, but he's missed some tackles, missed some plays here in the last few weeks. And then Ramon Humber's a free agent. I do think Matt Milano will take one of those three spots. He's played pretty well when he's been in the lineup. But you could get at least two new linebackers there. So going across the board, there's a lot of positions the Bills could address in free agency and the draft.
Yeah, good stuff from Ryan Talbot. He's a Bills writer for New York Upstate. And at Bills Updates, you can find him on Twitter at Ryan Talbot Bills. I'm going to ask you two very rapid-fire questions. Do the Bills make the playoffs? Yes or no?
No.
And do they draft a quarterback in the first round?
I'm going to say no on that one as well. Too many teams needing quarterbacks early on.
Good stuff. Thanks, Ryan. We'll talk to you again soon. We'll be back after this on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Mike and George. Just got done talking to Ryan Talbot about the Bills. He didn't paint a rosy picture for the Bills' future. George, seems like he's girding his loins for a lot of turnover for the next 12 months in Buffalo.
I think he's probably right on most things, though. And I think this is, I wanted to ask him the question, but he actually answered it during answering your question. I think this is a 7-game audition for Peterman. You know, and Tyrod Taylor's done in Buffalo. He'll go someplace else next year, maybe as a low-end starter or a top backup for a team. And then Buffalo had to make a decision. Is Peterman ready to be a starter next year, or do we need to draft a starter in the first round? And what is expected to be a quarterback-heavy draft. So it's a good draft for quarterbacks, so I think that'll be a decision Buffalo needs to make, but you're right. He didn't paint a rosy picture, because what's the first thing he said, or one of the first things? they have trouble at a lot of positions they need to work out here, including wide receiver. They made all these additions, Mike. I mean, Benjamin, Matthews, Zay Jones. And right now, really, none is working out.
Yeah, so far, so not so good for that. So we'll continue to keep an eye on that. We'll have Ryan in maybe towards the end of the year to kind of clean things up in Buffalo, see how it goes here for Peterman. There are a lot of people that spoke very highly of him during the draft process and thought he could go as high as the second round. He fell all the way to the fifth round. I think he's probably a guy that people like having on the team, feel pretty good about his football IQ, but maybe doesn't have any kind of elite throwing skill, you know, an accurate passer with a good head about him, but maybe not a guy that you can build the franchise around. Frankly, some guys have surprised us in the past to become those kinds of guys. What's up, Tom Brady? And what's up, Dak Prescott and Russell Wilson? So we have guys out there that can surprise, and we'll see if you add Nathan Peterman to that list. So I got a few tweets here that I want to get through, George. People asked me in the last couple of days. I can't believe this guy has this question, but he's probably in a two-quarterback league. So Blaine Gabbert or Mitch Trubisky?
Oh, God. Listen, I tried to claim both in a league, and I couldn't get either one of them as I have little issues in the two-quarterback leagues. You know how it is. All quarterbacks have gone in two-quarterback leagues. Trubisky looked pretty good against what really is a terrible Green Bay secondary last week. He's got the Lions this week. It's at home, but that's not an easy matchup at all. Blaine Gabbert.
I can't say Blaine Gabbert, dude. I can't say that.
I think I'm going to go Gabbert, though. I think it's a better matchup. Houston, you've been able to throw on Houston somewhat. I mean, listen, it's ugly. No matter which one you go here, it's ugly. I just don't know. I mean, come on, man. Can the average fan even name one wide receiver for Chicago? One?
The average fan would have a tough time.
Yeah. I mean, it's Kendall Wright, Dontrell Inman. I mean, good luck here. One's going to get Darius Slay, and he'll be eliminated anyway. So that's the reason I'm going with Gabbert. At least you got some wide receivers. But it's ugly, Mike. Thank you for ruining my day.
Would you play Dontrell Inman or Kendall Wright?
Well, you're trying to figure out which one is going to be on Darius Slay, because that one will be eliminated.
Yes.
And that's the problem.
I own both of them in a dynasty league, and I can't play them both.
No, God, no. So you started gambling there. Right now, roll a dice. You do if you think about starting them both.
Pryor's hurt. Pryor's hurt. I got issues in that league.
Oh, yeah, let's throw Pryor into this mix. That's such a better choice. Even if he was healthy.
I know.
I went 0 points, 1 point, or 1.5 points. I'd probably go Inman in your case there. But like I said, that's nothing but just taking a coin and flipping it.
Phil Rivers or Blake Bortles? Just asking you questions about my teams now.
It's all about you. I'm going Rivers here. You know, I can't trust Bortles. I just can't do it. I know he has a decent matchup there. But Rivers, if he's healthy, starting, you know, I'm going here. I wouldn't have, if it was going to be Kellen Clemens, I wouldn't have started anybody on San Diego, probably outside of Melvin Gordon.
Yeah. Right now, I'm starting Doug Baldwin, Michael Crabtree, Golden Tate, and Kendall Wright in a league. And I'll take Wright over Inman for now, just because there's some.
That's not so bad.
There. Yeah. Yeah, I know. The team's pretty good, but it's a dogfight for the playoffs in that league. So I'll go back to Twitter here. This is a good one. You got to sit two of these in a PPR. He asked me about Juju Smith-Schuster, but I said to eliminate that. So the remaining ones are Marquise Lee, Doug Baldwin, Amari Cooper, Stephon Diggs, Golden Tate.
Okay, Lee, Baldwin, Cooper, Tate.
You got to pick four of those five. So just bench one, because I already benched Juju Smith.
Lee, Baldwin, Cooper, Tate. Who'd I miss?
Crabtree?
Diggs. Oof. Wow, that's a nice wide receiver core you got here. Okay, well, I'm not sitting Baldwin. Cooper, oh, man, it's a good matchup tomorrow. Tate, this is not easy. This is not easy at all.
Tate's an automatic for me.
Yeah, I'm not sitting Tate. I'm not sitting Baldwin. I'm probably not sitting Diggs. Right, so it really comes down to Lee or Cooper. And the only reason why Cooper's in this conversation is because he has been somewhat inconsistent. You know, he drops passes. But that to be a high-scoring game tomorrow. They're coming off a bye. But Lee's been so good as well. I think it really comes down to this for me. If you want the high upside, you're going Cooper, because I think that would be a shock. He scores, you know, has 90 yards and two touchdowns in that game. If you want just consistency to make sure you get 12 points, 6 for 60, then I'm going Marquise Lee here. So it comes down to me. For me, I'm probably going with the higher end Cooper.
Because Baldwin, I am too. Because Baldwin and Tate are so safe, I think you can take the shot with Amari Cooper. And you got Diggs there as well, who's, you know,
you can't go wrong there. You could also just put those five names and have pull one out. You're okay. Yeah. It wouldn't bother me to sit any of them.
Yeah, I'll give you another one. It needs one running back and one flex. It says standard league. Burkhead, Darkwa, or McKinnon for the running back.
So one has to sit. I think in that case.
No. Let me open it up. I'm sorry. One running back and one flex from this. Burkhead, Darkwa, McKinnon, and Robert Woods. It's standard.
Okay. Well, Woods
sits there. So you can play the two
running
backs. Woods. Okay. You're going to take Woods out.
Yeah. Generally, in a standard, we're always going to lean towards the running backs because, you know, you can take the PPR out. Yeah. I'm sitting Woods because they're in Minnesota. That's a really good defense. And so I'm going to sit him there and not take my chances there. A dark where I'm going to start because he's the starter. He's the one guy I know is going to start there, so I'll take that. McKinnon or Burkhead? You know, Latavius Murray also has been a bigger part of the game plan for Minnesota of late. Or Burkhead playing the New England guessing game? Oh, God. I think this is I'm going to sit McKinnon here. Once again, a little tougher matchup against the Rams, who have played better of late against the run. I'll sit McKinnon. I don't love it, but I'll sit McKinnon and I'll go Burkhead, play that guessing game. Mainly because, I'll say it again. I think there's a lot of points going to be scored in New England and Oakland tomorrow.
Okay. There you go. So there you go. That's Tony Griswold. He's a guy that listens to the show all the time. Sports Nut. I guess is his Twitter handle. So there you go. There's a few Twitter questions cleaning out the queue. We'll get to some games since we haven't really talked about too many games today with having a guest on and all the other good stuff. Falcons at Seahawks. We'll talk Falcons-Seahawks first, and then we'll do Rams-Vikings. So Falcons at Seahawks. First of all, I really need the Seahawks to win this one. I do. I just
all
need
about
it.
Mike.
I do. I'm just telling you straight up that Washington loss was brutal. I would feel really comfortable right now about the Hawks, even with these injuries, sitting at 6-4. Instead, I think they can be 6-5. It's going to be a tough one for the Falcons, but they're playing a little bit better. They have a couple of guys down in the secondary for Julio to potentially take advantage of. So, what do you see here?
Well, it's funny you say this. The first thing I looked up is how many sacks does Claiborne have, and what does he need for that next incentive? He's got 8 sacks. What does he need? 10 or 12 for next incentives?
It's a bunch. It's escalating, but if he gets to 12, this incentive is a $2 million check.
Damn! It's good to be Adrian Claiborne.
It would be up from $750 to $2 million.
So it's $1.25 million if he gets 4 more sacks in this season. He might get it in this game. Seattle's offensive line, even with Dwayne Brown, it's still bad. It's not good here. So Baldwin's going to have to run around, make plays. We know the running game will be non-existent. So Claiborne can once again, and rightfully so, just set his sights on Russell Wilson. You know, not even care about Eddie Lacy if he does get the ball or Thomas Rawls or whatever. McKissick, who cares? So I think Atlanta's going to score some points here. I'm certainly going to like them there. Tevin Coleman's – listen, Atlanta has the obvious start. You're starting Coleman. I'm starting Matt Ryan. I think Matt Ryan's in my top 12 because of the banked-up Seattle secondary. Julio Jones goes. Austin Hooper and really Mohamed Sanu is where it gets interesting. I do like Sanu in this game, same reason, because of the banked-up secondary. I think they'll be able to throw the ball almost at will as far as what they want to do here. Hooper also makes my top 12 this week, Mike, so I think he's a low-end. I think he had number 12. Low-end guy. You need a touchdown to get – in business here. And as for Seattle, we already mentioned Baldwin. I think it's Richardson and Lockett are where the tough decisions come in. Are you starting these guys? You know, I think they're sort of right around that flex range for me. I certainly wouldn't want to start both. You mentioned, you know, you're starting Inman and Kendall Wright. This is sort of the same category for me. I wouldn't mind starting one, but I wouldn't want to gamble on both. And if I had to start just one, Lockett gets it slightly over Richardson.
Yeah, that's been a tough one because of the touchdowns going to Richardson. It's a debate each and every week. They're similarly targeted, similar kind of fantasy value. So I think the pressure is going to be on the Seattle defensive line to keep Matt Ryan uncomfortable. I think that's really going to be the key to this game. And if they can't do it, I think you're right. I think they can kind of throw at will. It's going to be too much pressure on Bobby Wagner and Earl Thomas to stop anything in the middle. So Rams-Vikings, you got about 30 seconds to tell me what you can about Rams-Vikings.
Don't think it's going to be as high-scoring a game. I think Minnesota's looking for any kind of reason to get Teddy Bridgewater back as the starting quarterback there. So there'll be some pressure on Keenum. Rams playing pretty well against the pass here. Not seeing a lot of points being scored in this game. And I'm not starting Sammy Watkins.
Okay, we'll come back. We'll close out the show. Talk about a couple more games after this. It's Mike and George on the Roto Experts. We'll be back.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page, where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
Yeah, nothing says Saturday morning fantasy football like the Village People.
I think Tony and I were talking about the Village People on Monday's show.
Tony could do a three-hour show on the Village People, I'm sure.
Dude, the YMCA in the Navy, trying to get come up with their best songs. Macho Man.
Yeah, that's it. That's my three. That's all I got. that's all I know.
One is so if you had to dress up as one, which one you dress up as?
I don't know. Construction worker?
I think that was the other choice. Yeah, the construction worker.
Yeah, you know. It was the 70s. It was a different time, George.
Ain't that
things,
the truth,
things would get weird in the 70s. So I'm going to ask you two questions. First one is Survivor Pool.
I think this is a tough week, Mike. Jacksonville over Cleveland. I don't see Cleveland getting their first win this week. Baltimore over Green Bay. But they're not locks. New Orleans over Washington, same thing. KC over the Giants. Maybe this is the week the Giants wake up coming home. I don't think so. So I'm leaning towards KC here. I like Philadelphia over Dallas Sunday night a lot. I don't think Dallas is coming up there. New England over Oakland is another game I like. So it's one of those right here. KC, Philadelphia, New England, sort of the big guys this week. I like Atlanta over Seattle on Monday night, too.
But you wouldn't pick Atlanta.
No, I would not.
Yeah. I think Washington is so desperate, it has me hesitant to pick them against the Saints.
And I agree. That's why
they came up with
a
desperation win against Seattle.
And the Saints have won like 8 games in a row. They're due for a loss.
Yeah.
But Washington's banged up. He's been no Pryor, no Reed.
Is Blaine Gabbert going to go on into Houston and pick up a win?
Oh, God, there's no way I would take that as a survivor.
Tom Savage. You can't bet on Tom Savage. You can't bet on
Keith
Keenum.
I wouldn't go either one of them. No, I think that's a good game. That Ram. Listen, who would have thought the game of the week is Jared Goff versus Case Keenum?
It's crazy. It is the game of the week. That is the game that is most interesting for fantasy owners, for NFL purposes, sort out the NFC, 2 seed, all that kind of stuff. I can't see the Giants beating the Chiefs. Chiefs coming off a bye.
I do. And I think Andy Reid coming off a bye. He's got a crazy good record, too.
Yeah.
I think the KC is my number one.
Yeah. We haven't done a good job of tracking this, so it is what it is. We're just we pick the same teams every
week. Hell, I was eliminated in week 3. Thank you, Steelers.
I would go Bastards. Steelers would have been a good
favorite team.
Would have been a good pick this week. They would have been a good
lost
pick
to
this
Chicago.
Week. They did lose to Chicago. It's one of only 2 losses, by the way. It was an overtime loss.
I picked it. Fantastic.
So, I know I hate to pile on the Bills now, but I actually do like the Chargers. I think this is an interesting game for them. I don't see Peterman going on the road to L.A. and picking up his first win. But Anyway, there's some ugly games, but there's better games this week than there have been the last couple of weeks. We got some good ones. Eagles, Cowboys, Falcons, Seahawks, Rams, Vikings. I'm going to close it out with a baseball question. George, did Judge get robbed by Jose Altuve?
No, not at all. I think I would have voted for Altuve, too. I was surprised it was 27-2.
Yes.
You know, I thought it'd be a little closer than that, but I thought Altuve deserved the award. I'd like to know who was the one writer who gave a vote to Jose Ramirez. That was a little ridiculous.
I imagine a Cleveland writer.
Yeah, that's what I would assume as well here. But I thought Jose Altuve deserved it. Yes, I think Judge had a fantastic season. Maybe he didn't go into that slump for a month. You know, it was just kind of silly because the overall numbers are the overall numbers. But there was that slump was so ballyhooed and so publicized, maybe it would have been closer. But in the end, I do think they got it right.
But they struggled when he slumped. And when he came back, they played
great.
They played
better. A lot was asked of a rookie player for crying out loud.
He won in most statistical categories anyway.
I was most surprised that Joe Girardi wasn't top three for manager of the year. Really? I mean, Frank Coda,
Hinch.
Those teams are supposed to be great.
Good luck in your fantasy football leagues this week, folks. We'll talk to you next week.